right, welcome to episode 8. We're here with Wah Radio. Make some noise, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
How are you feeling today? How's everything?
Feeling good. The weather is getting better. There's some sunshine. It's been raining for the past 3 days in London. And it's June. Guys, it's June. So we're grateful that the sun's come out today. Yeah, I brought it with me.
Exactly. Sammy came in and all of a sudden the weather just started getting way better.
Mm.
There you go.
You know, instead of doing our own sort of like introduction to you, because maybe it's a bit played out, but like we actually want to start the podcast with quick fire questions.
For sure.
I'm assuming that like you've had a look at the questions before, but we're just going to shoot them at you and yeah, it's going to give us an opportunity to get to know you all. So I'm going to go straight in. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for
Sweet.
It, please.
So tell us who you are and how you got to this stage of your careers.
Well, we are Wah Radio. We began actually as Wah Digital because we were essentially bringing all of our talents together separately as a collective. So all of us do music, media, events and a bunch of things. Mm. And I think during COVID, we decided to just link up because there was nothing going on. So we were like, guys, it's time to hang out. We started playing some music together, which is a fun way to, you know, link up with your boys and get things started. And as a result, this was on Instagram. And as a result, people started tuning in to our lives and stuff. And then we started doing some parties because people were just asking for it.
Yeah.
And then we just went from there. Yeah.
Parties because people ask for it? Or literally. Like throwing parties?
A bit of both. We just love throwing parties anyway.
Yeah.
We were doing that separately, just doing our own gigs, but it just felt natural to just do a thing as a collective and with the people that supported the sound that we were doing, which was just a lot of like edits and like Afro-electronic and all the things that you wouldn't normally hear in a club at that time. Yeah, it just made sense for us to just enjoy ourselves and share that experience.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think if I'm going to expand on that, you touched on it being Wah Digital. I think the pandemic was kind of real eye-opener for all four of us. So before I even get into us, there's four people in the group. Myself, Just JJ, Key, who's on the other mic. The other two that couldn't make it today, Nigel and Rambo. And before, so we had been friends for a long time and we had all worked in like similar industries and kind of picked up similar jobs and like had seen each other either on shoots and such. And I think the pandemic allowed, even though it was like a really strenuous time for a lot of people, especially kind of creatives, consultants, freelancers, there was like no help aid from the government. And it gave us time to kind of reflect and be like, the years before when there wasn't a pandemic, it was agencies that were providing some opportunities but taking a very large slice of the cake. And I was just like, yo, we have all the expertise, we have the network, why do we need these people as such? And I was just like, all our friends are dope, let's kind of create a collective. And that's where the name Wah first came across, which is an acronym for We Are. So whoever we collaborate with, for instance, we are Pirate, we are LVMH, we are Burberry. I'm just listing off some of the people that we worked with as such.
Nice.
But yeah, that kind of came across, and as Key mentioned, we all love music. Everyone's a musician in their own right, and we just started playing together when we were allowed to kind of go into people's houses again. So we brought the decks over, and we were just playing for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it was, we kind of termed, I don't know if you can say we coined it, but our sound was like cultural rhythms. So music that you generally wouldn't hear on the radio within like the top 10 or even top 50 is just that cultural rhythm. So it can be from any era, from like the 70s right down to current era, any music from any part of the world. And people kind of just tapped in socially, and it was just like, you guys look like you're having so much fun and enjoyment. How can we be a part of that? So I think our first official party, correct me if I'm wrong, outside the ones that we did in everyone's homes, was in, I'll give an honourable shout out, I don't know if the photo studio still exists, it was in South, it's called Threads. So we did a party there, and this was when I believe like I'm a piano hadn't really touched the UK as such. So yeah, I think we kind of threw in like a lot of like I'm a piano and Guam joints, and people was just like, yeah, this is the vibe. And then from there I was just like, you know what, there's a lot of parties that we are affiliated with, but I think the sound and like the energy and the community that we bring, people are not really getting that within London. So, you know, that's how the journey on the music front kind of opened up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is War Radio.
That's a brilliant introduction to who you all are. Thank you. If anything, you touched on the next question, which you really talked about, is you cover a lot of stuff in the industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How would you describe yourselves and what you do succinctly? You did a kind of like really broad explanation of what you do. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll challenge you and ask, if someone didn't know anything about music and then the disciplines that you all share, how in one sentence would you summarize Y Radio?
One sentence.
Oh, right. we don't like to be locked in. So
gone off script.
It's difficult. There's four of us, so like one
four
sentence.
Words. Then four give words. It four words. Just like,
wah for the people.
Love it. Oh. Wah for the people. You need to make t-shirts. Yeah. I'm going to take 20.
And the acronym is we are. We are for the people.
100%.
Yeah, you can have five.
Exactly. Thank you. Giving us some grace there.
Yeah.
Appreciate
Sweet.
It.
Sweet. And the last quick fire question is, what is your ultimate goal as creatives/artists?
You know what? I feel, for me personally, I think the guys will probably resonate with it. I don't think we have like a fixed goal or fixed destination. I think we're more focused on like the journey and enjoying the journey. I feel like sometimes it's good to have goals and objectives, don't get me wrong, but when there's like a fixed objective and goal, for me personally, I just see that on the when you're going on the journey, you tend not to enjoy the highs and lows and look at the things that have tested your character or stuff like that, because you're so focused on obtaining whatever it is. And then when you obtain it, you kind of get the feeling of like, okay. And then what's next? So I think what is more on our goal is just to continue enjoying our journey. I think before anything, it's brother, it's fellowship and bonding with our brothers.
For sure.
So I think the ultimate goal is to make sure that as a unit, the friendship always prevails first before any form of opportunity or business.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you want to add something?
No, not at all. That's literally it.
I do have something just to ask that, because I find it, this is something I'm really curious about, is people's mission statements. Because I like the idea that you said, if you have just one goal, then you have tunnel vision, you might miss other opportunities that just naturally come because you're just shooting towards this one thing. And then when you get there, like, you miss the journey so that you don't experience, we don't get to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
But when I say mission statement, I mean, what is the thing that, like, what's the question you ask yourself? So anything you do, if you have 10 options, is answering that question just to make sure that you don't end up becoming like a fashion brand because that opportunity came and you abandoned music.
Yeah.
What's your mission statement?
Well, I don't want to like just say something off top. I think there's bits and parts when we've spoken. We know that music is always the undertone in everything we do.
Mm.
As we're all multifaceted, like we have Nigel, who is a designer, makes amazing. I'm actually wearing his two pieces now.
Nice.
He has a company called St. and Birchley, works with Casey Aceford. So he's quite renowned in the things that he does. So there's so many industries that we tap in, but we make sure that music is always the
bed.
Yeah, the bed, because that's where a lot of our kind of joy comes from. I think most musicians say this, but I think the way we kind of interpret and listen to music, it's very different. And I think kind of just being around other people, it's just like, okay, yeah, the way we kind of perceive and like listen and experience music is very different from like just other people, I would say.
I think for the most part, does it resonate? You know what I mean? Is it for our souls? Like, do we feel correct doing this thing? If we don't feel correct, are we doing it for money? If we're doing it for money, are we doing it at all?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, as long as it resonates between all of us and we can have that sort of synergy, that's cool. Because I think that's how everything works. Even when we play together, for example, like, we play on 3 CDJs or 4 CDJs and there's never a plan.
Yeah.
Mm. We're just going.
And we don't rehearse, guys.
We don't rehearse at all. Like, we're just vibing off each other.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to rehearse and it didn't work?
No. That's the way you can do it.
Like,
it's funny.
So let me expand on that rehearsal.
Yeah.
It's like, we ensure that all of us collectively make sure that, you know, we use USBs. We're not really like a laptop kind of bass DJ, so we make sure that, and we use Record Box sponsor us for the shout. We use Record Box, so it's just about having your music and your folders in order, and just kind of allowing us to carry out the vibe. I think everything's kind of energy sounds all like cliche. And
bro, the vibe is right. The vibe is right.
But yeah, that's how we do it. So there have been times where we've kind of like tried to plan a set. Like, okay, we know we're going to be playing this, but we'll go to whatever function that we are, and it's just like, okay, the set that we build, we can kind of extract like 5 of the songs that we have, but the other 20 has to go. We're going in a different direction because this is the energy. This is what the people kind of want. And I think we kind of enjoy the challenge. Again, I'm going to be shouting out a lot of people here, but my boy Benji does a lot of vintage frames, and then he had a collection in Selfridges. This is like two, three years ago, and then he did a party. You was on a shoot somewhere in Eastern Europe, so it was just myself, Nigel, and Rambo. And it was a very fashion Easter crowd. Everybody was cool. Everyone looked great. Everyone's dressed head to toes with all the massive fashion brands. And it was a kind of party where it's like, I'm looking too cool. There's many amazing photographers here, so I'm not going to dance. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to stand in a corner. And this is both men and women. And all the DJs were amazing. And I went to the guys, I was like, our aim here is to make sure everyone dances. So there was a specific, I think everybody at the time was doing Afrobeats, I'm a piano, kind of electronic as such. And I was like, you know what, I feel like people really want to sing. R&B, it's like stuff that your parents would be listening to, like Maxwell, all that stuff,
Lovers Rock and all that.
First 10 minutes and I was like, cool, now we got them, now we can do what we do. And then the OGs was like, right, like, what's going on? It's like, hey, feel like you, because when we came into the green room, a lot of these, oh, what are you guys going to play? And then me, Reese, and I was like, we're just going to go out there and kind of see the vibes and kind of deliver. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's all about enjoyment for sure.
Exactly. Mm.
If you're not enjoying it, then you're lying. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not really liars like that. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I'm going to hand it over to you, Sammy, to take it into the interview questions.
Yeah, indeed. One thing I would say prior to getting going on those is if you do need somewhere to practice, I might know somewhere.
Exactly. I mean, nearby.
Yeah. Downstairs. Thank you, Emma V. Thanks both to you two. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is the kind of fourth in a, I suppose, a series on residency winners. Although it turns out the last one wasn't residency winners, they were ambassadors, which was unbeknownst to me until the time of the recording, but that's absolutely fine. I understand, well, this is a bit of a delicate one, because I understand that your residency experience wasn't the best overall. But can you tell us a bit about the good stuff, you know, the process up until it was a bit shit by the sounds of things, but also let's cover that bit too, in the interest of being honest and getting these things out there and not trying to avoid them.
Sure. Yeah. Do you want to kick off first and I'll follow through?
Can I also ask you what led you to apply? Like, how did you hear about it?
Okay, funny enough, Reese Rambo, he applied and he didn't tell us. And then he dropped in the groups like, a couple of weeks or a month ago, I applied for this pirate studios thing, and we won. Then he started dropping like screenshots and such. I was like, okay, this is dope. And the initial thing was like, okay, what is this kind of pirate residency thing? This is the first time that I had heard about it as such. And I was like, hey, we use pirate studio all the time just to kind of vibe, see what new music we're feeling. So I was like, okay, cool. The onboarding process was cool. Got to meet a couple of other creatives in London, in the UK, internationally as well. Some people that kind of reached out, was digging us off. We kind of dig some other people's stuff. So like the process towards, like, you know, the announcements of us going to play City Splash was great. We announced it to our audience. People was keen and eager. It was an exciting time.
It was definitely an exciting time. And then things changed. I think that, and that's not coming from the pirate side at all. I think that things were just lost in communication when it came to the actual festival. And I think one big thing for us is that we're not trying to, you know, see an issue and then just sit with it and just be like, this is a problem, someone fix it. It's like, no, we're here, we can fix it, we know what we do. And we're trying to come up with like the best solution to any sort of issue. But I think that things sort of felt like they were almost last minute decisions, as opposed to like a distinct care for the people that are coming to do this thing.
Yeah.
Speaking for myself, my worry was for other people who didn't necessarily have the experiences that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been playing for such a long time, yeah, and
as a collective,
individually, so there are certain things that we expect, but for someone that's completely new to this thing and they've won something, it's like, it's their first thing. So how are they experiencing this journey? Yeah. And if they weren't prepared for that, then they're going to have a really bad time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, I think we were just prepared, and it was just one of those things that.
We're going to the specifics. I know we talked about it before.
Yeah,
okay. Like, say what happened.
So, we were given the first slot, which we don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was from 12 to 1.
Yeah.
But the festival starts at 12. So already I kind of raised...
Well, the doors open at
12. Doors opens at 12. So already I put in the group, I was just like, that's not happening, because, like, again, I've worked productions for a lot of festivals, and doors open when the main act on the main stage has finished sound checking.
Yeah.
And obviously they came a little bit late. No shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
They came a little bit late, and they obviously wanted to sound check everyone, and they had a lot of instruments, you know, keys, drummers, sax, backing singers, so kind of overrun. So it's like, okay, we're ready, we had set up all our cameras and everything, we're ready to go. 12, no, they're still in sound check. I was like, 5 past 12, 10 past 12, 12:15.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, when are we going to play? And then at 12:30, they was like, okay, you're good to go. So I was like, okay, it's going to be like a 30 minute set. But I believe, because
we nearly walked away, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mm.
We were very close to just being like, let's just dip, because this is not fun for anyone.
Yeah.
And it's almost embarrassing, because it's almost like, cool, we're ready for this thing, we're excited for this thing, and we've actually like got a bunch of tunes ready, not necessarily like fully rehearsed, but we're ready for a certain vibe.
Yeah.
And now we can't do that because we feel like we've got to sort of rush our set.
Yeah.
Or do random things that don't necessarily coincide with what we're about.
Yeah. And just to go back to the conversation, everything is supposed to be enjoyment and vibe. So I think we was already kind of getting annoyed, and I could tell like it was throwing the temperature. So I was like, to kind of perform and be in a place where we're just enjoying what we do, that's no longer happening because of these external things.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, we're here, let's just vibe, let's just do what we have to do.
Keep it professional.
We're the people that's recording. If you don't like the recordings, the public don't have to see it. Let's just kind of vibe. Mm. So yeah, we was playing, and shout out to the staff, the bar staff, they were vibes in and shocking out. Mm-hmm. And I forgot the person who was kind of like our aide there that was looking after our rider. She was cool. Sorry that I forgot your name, but if you're listening to this, shout out to you know who you are.
We'll find them.
Yeah. They was like, you know what, you guys are dope. I know you started at 12:30, you're supposed to finish at 1, but we're going to give you 15 more minutes, so at least make it a 45-minute set. So, you know, we ended on a great note. I just guess going to the festival and kind of being, seen as like an afterthought, that was kind of the...
It was just a bit disheartening.
That's
the rule of it. You know?
And thank you for playing after that, because I can understand why you might not. I think key hitting there on the head, really, because a lot of the winners from residency would never have played a festival before.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, you're kind of equipped with the skills and the tools now to kind of know what's going on and kind of understanding this might happen and how to overcome that. But yeah, I'd hate to think that somebody going along and super excited for their first ever festival experience and then that happening to them.
Yeah.
You know, in contrast, I was talking to you lot earlier about my experience at Shebang Slow, which is this music festival in just outside of Los Angeles, with two other residency winners, RM47 and Beata. We've talked about this in the podcast, so I won't go too much into it, but like, that was just seamless. You know, everything worked great. They got to sound check at the right time. They were, you know, to be fair, they were doing a silent disco side by side, so presumably easier to check. They played the first slot, and by the end of their sets it was full. But that was like a boutique festival, and as you understand it's easy to get around. So there's contrast, obviously, but what I will say is just thank you so much for being honest about this, because we want to, and we'll have to feed back and try and do better next time.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm like taking all of this on board. Like I've said off mic, is just creating a bit more of a barrier in that, like, I think that what you've described of them not taking that care and your time into consideration, if we were representing as like an agency or as management or even just as promoters, the relationship might well, one, you wouldn't have felt, you wouldn't have been responsible for communicating to them that, like, yeah, hey, things are running, we're waiting. It would have been on us to have those conversations, right, on your behalf, right, and you, and just allow you to just be the artist.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. On another point, just is, I think our frustrations, I think what aided, and we knew that we were afterthought on the running order function sheet. I couldn't put in War Radio, they just put Pirate DJ. So yeah. I was just like, okay, yeah.
That
we're
sucks.
Definitely, we're definitely off the force.
100%. It felt like their actual schedule was from one. Yeah. And then the slot that we were given was
they,
like,
squeeze,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
in,
yeah, just chuck them in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whatever. Yeah. It's going to be like their first gig ever. So I'm just like, no. Like, we work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Again, based on the idea of us being an agent, I'm sorry that happened, by the way.
It's all good. Things happen.
Yeah.
Know?
If we'd been like, if we had the touch point where we're representing you as an agency, mm-hmm, we would have also been able to say, hey, this is War Radio, by the way. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, obviously you can go in there and be like, do you know who we are, yeah, and things like that.
Mm.
But it is that, like, there's this blanket,
yeah,
what do you call it, doc that we're using to be in touch with the partners.
Yeah.
So that it's, everyone is kind of just thought of as this package of residencies, mm-hmm, not that you're all individual,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
stars,
yeah,
that are doing stuff out in the world.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like I said, it's learning. It's just that moving forward, it would be that, like, hey, we go to the festival and say, this is what we expect. This, mm-hmm, is kind of like how you need to treat them when they turn up.
Yeah.
We want that their artist liaison meets them with this and their rider,
sure,
and things like that. So they just immediately, they don't go into it as, okay, you're the opening slot, and if, mm-hmm, if things run over, they run,
yeah,
over. Just,
yeah,
meet you with a bit of respect.
Just basic respect. That's,
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Basic respect.
Literally, yeah, basic respect.
Damn.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. Well, like, honestly, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And actually, there's been a lot of learnings actually from the residency winners that we've interviewed, and you and I should download on that.
There's
some other things too. But yeah, thanks again. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Question two. How do you juggle all of your creative pursuits? And if you can only do one of them, which would it be? Because obviously, yeah, I mean, I expect the answer might be throwing parties, but I hope that's the answer, but making people dance.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's just throwing parties.
Yeah,
we're into experiences.
Yeah.
I think a big thing for all of us is making sure people really enjoy themselves in whatever situation we put them in.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not just the party. Like, we did an event, actually, that was... actually, my event. There was we did an exhibition.
Yes.
And that was, like, a retrospective of, like, my past 10 years in photography.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then we had an after party, obviously, and we DJed, which was cool. But our thing is more so about providing a great experience to, yeah, whoever we're inviting to, whatever we're doing.
Yeah,
you know,
100%. And the experience is not just music. We can, mm-hmm, try and touch on all the five senses, so, mm-hmm, like art direction, the lighting, smell, the using, yeah, of incense, and just everything. So people walk in and just like, wow. And we just know living in London is tough,
mm-hmm,
and is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just like, if people are not even purchasing a ticket but leaving the house, it costs so much just to leave your house. So it's,
yeah,
just like, we need to make sure that their experience, whoever is our community, mm-hmm, is
is valued.
Is valued.
Yeah.
That we take the time, that they know that we've taken the time and care to kind of curate this experience specifically for them.
Yeah.
Mm. What's a typical kind of venue you'd have for one of these experiences? I mean, they probably change.
Yeah, they change. So yeah, last year we had a residency in Coco in Camden.
Nice.
In the theatre on there, if you've been to Coco, it's their top room.
Yeah.
The room was named after a sponsor. That sponsor no longer exists, so I don't want to call it, but it's like the Red Room upstairs. Holds, I think it's like a 150, 200 capacity. And we had a residency there, and the experience was called Mates and Friends.
Mm.
Specifically playing electronic, Afro-electronic, Guam, edits, I'm a piano, dance.
Yeah, house. Yeah.
Soulful house, that feel. I think we had like 12 episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first two were great. Numbers weren't where it was, but I was just like, by the third and fourth one,
mm-hmm,
it's yeah, and that's what happened. And I knew it was going to be a big thing, but I didn't know it was going to be that big in regards to, like, I'm here to drop names. Some of the, no, I'm not dropping names, but like, producers from like SNL were sliding in our DMs like, oh, we have so-and-so writer, and I'm not going to say they're...
Mm-hmm. Why not?
No. It was just like, right, okay. Like, yeah, we had played internationally as such, but just the frequency of mates and friends was just resonating with people. Like, people here are having fun. And I think it was another thing where it was just like, the ratio, when I say ratio, in regards to like men to women, I think in most London clubs, it's sometimes very male dominated, and we was just, again, with our community, we want everybody to kind of feel comfortable, so it was a lot more women than men, and the men began to find out, and these women are, everyone's good looking, and what we're just telling people is just like, we're here for the music first. Don't put pressure on anyone. Whatever happens, happens, but we're here for the music first. And like, we're just having different groups of people, like, we feel the safest in your space.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that kind of just really resonated. I was like, this is just past music, it's community as well. It's like, people feel safe here. Kind of felt like the 90s party. There wasn't really phones coming out. People were like really, really vibrant. So,
yeah, they're coming into a dark room to enjoy good music. There's no
look at me now. There's no popping of bottles.
No table service. Come and enjoy yourself, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah. And people did request that. Footballers and superstars. It's just like, nah, if you're coming in, your regular job. Everyone here is equal. We're all humans.
No one's above anyone.
We're vibes and, so I think that energy just kind of resonated. People looked around like, oh, so-and-so is here, so-and-so is here. But it's just vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. That's the energy.
Another question's just come in. Who from SNL reached out into your DM?
Exactly.
And who are these famous footballers? Just kidding. Complete change of pace and direction, to be honest. What advice would you give to aspiring artists or indeed creatives out there? I've put App Pirate. They could be anywhere really, but also particularly App Pirate.
Okay, specifically App Pirate. I think these are things that we kind of apply to ourselves. Doesn't matter how talented and gifted you are, discipline and being consistent is key. And I think we've kind of seen that. And we're trying to understand this ourselves. As creators, we tend to strive for perfectionism, but perfection kills progress. So just as creatives, just kind of put your things out there. Your audience wants to kind of grow with you. You don't have to kind of give them the cinematic experience from day dot. You know, they kind of want that kind of rough and rugged thing to be like, I was with these people, or I was listening to these people, I discovered these people at this point, and look at where they are now. So it's like, yeah, it's good to kind of have high standards in the things that you want to put out to the world, but don't let perfection halt your progress.
Yeah.
And you have to be consistent and disciplined. If you're not consistent and disciplined, you can have all the talent in the world, you will not succeed. Discipline and consistency is key in this thing. Yeah, and just to it's difficult, but to kind of have that optimistic mindset, you know, like things are always going to go left. But kind of trust yourself, you know. I kind of say,
kind of have that. Trust your people, though.
Trust your people, trust your judgment, trust your intuition. It's kind of have a little bit of that, what do I call it? A little bit of that yay Kanye syndrome. Not so much, but just a little bit in regards to like, I believe in what is it that I'm doing, and continue going for it, and you will have your audience and fan base. And really to ask yourself, what is it that you're coming in for? This is it fame? Is it money? And once you kind of know, you know, things will kind of make sense. I think a lot of the peers and a lot of people that either look up to us or want us to put us on, they're kind of asking that question. It's like, what is it that you're striving for? If it is specific fame or such like that, then maybe this is not the route for you. But if you want an audience space that kind of loves the things that you do, you know, respect the audience space that's there, whether it's one person, five people, 100 people, 1,000 people, or plus, just that respect your audience space, and you'll see that genuine love grow.
Yeah, but I think also like your audience is yourself. You know what I mean? And when Jay was mentioning about like having the love and spreading love, it's like you have to love the thing that you're doing in order for anyone else to even love or even like the thing that you're doing. You know what I mean? It has to be honest. I think that's something that we all share, is that the only things that we play are things that we honestly love and honestly care about. We're not trying to crowd please, but we will please you. You know what I mean? And I think that's one of the most important things. And also when I mentioned being able to trust your people, like things can get hard, things can get very difficult, especially here. And as a creative or as an artist, DJ, musician, anything, things, you're going to go through serious ups and downs. And if it wasn't for these guys, like, I don't know what I'd be doing. You know what I mean? I've been in the most difficult and confusing and dark spaces, and they lift me up. So it's like trusting your people that they will have your back and they will continue to promote the things that you love, and they'll just spread that.
Yeah,
that's all it is, really.
Another note for DJs: whenever you're playing, DJs, please smile.
You know them.
You have a great job, yeah. And there's thousands or hundreds of people standing,
yeah,
predominantly probably looking at you, and like, your hair looking miserable, dressed in all black. Yeah. It's cool, we wear all black, but dressed in all black and just like unhappy, and it's just like, hey, if you don't want to be here, leave, man.
Leave.
Yeah. So DJs, like, smile, it, cool. Be happy, you know what I mean? Show that you're having fun, so then the crowd can, like, breaks that barrier and they can have fun too. And I think that's what kind of resonates with for our people. They see that we're really enjoying it ourselves. And
we're,
I think,
really, that's what dancing, guys, jumping, like, about.
I tend to play for everybody else in the collective. If they say that we've done a good job, that's when I'm most happy. We get positive feedback all the time, and it's great, but I think with the audience, I always take it with a pinch of salt, because I know how amazing these guys are and the perfection that they strive for. When there's like, oh my goodness, this is an amazing set, I think that's when I'm like, okay, yeah, we're kind of doing well. So
for
like,
sure.
Can I ask a question, just jumping off of that, that has been like jumping at me as you've been answering that question? You talked about trust, and like, obviously it sounds like, obviously, but it sounds like you will naturally spend a lot of time together, and you've been in your, like, your creative fields for a long time too, but what are, this might be a bit woo-woo, this question, what are the, like, pillars of the relationships that you have inside of the collective? Like, if trust is one, is friendship one? Because you touched, JJ, you just talked about the fact that, like, you play to the collective, so is it also that, like, you aspire to be like each other? Like, how would you describe the pillars of your relationship?
I think, yeah, trust. I think constantly pushing each other. We're all open to, like, criticism, and again, like, playing back to back with four people sharing two headphones, and we're in energy and flow, like, we can kind of, like, check each other while we're playing. I'll use myself as an example. I forgot the venue that we was playing, and then you played a track, and then I was going to come in because I thought it was going to go in a certain direction, and people would have resonated and danced, but he before I brought in, he's like, nah, JJ, you can do better than that. I was like, all right, cool, yeah.
Honesty is the number one, 100%.
So trust, honesty,
respect,
definitely respect.
Do you also, I think you've talked about, like, I guess it tapped into critiquing each other, but do you hold each other up, like, to a particular regard?
100%. 100%. It's very easy to just play a random track and kind of, like, just coast, you know what I mean? But there's a serious, beautiful energy that happens when you mix the right track at the right time, the right vibe, and that feeling is something that we're always chasing. We're always chasing that vibe, and if that vibe isn't there, it's almost like, it's almost like, don't lie to me, bro. Don't play that track and pretend that it's a good track, or that's the right track to play at this time. Not that there is a right track to play it every time, but that vibe isn't the vibe. Don't lie to me, bro. I don't lie to you. It's that sort of thing. Like, you know,
that's essential, especially for a group of people working together.
For sure.
That's my little question there.
And no egos. That's another
no
thing.
No egos.
That's what's beautiful. It's just like, when we're playing together, it's like, this is the team. So there is, and I kind of scratch my head at times. I was just like, man, how have there been no egos? I don't want to jinx it. I hope it long continues. But yeah, there's just like no egos, which is a blessing.
It's a testament to all of your characters as well.
100%.
Yeah, that's a very pirate one, isn't it? No ego.
Yeah.
We had that in our
manifesto
for a while. It's come out now.
Yeah, the ego's all back.
I actually moved a couple of questions around, annoyingly, perhaps. Can you just let us know what's next for Wire Radio? What have you got? What are you working on? Where can we see you next, etc.?
So,
season two.
People have been demanding it. Mates and Friends season two is coming back. We have moved away temporarily from Coco, and we can announce it because we released it. We're doing it at Stereo Covent Garden, which is in Covent Garden.
Nice.
A bigger venue. shift, we usually run it on a Friday, but we're doing it on a Thursday. So shout out to our community for responding in a positive manner. Mm-hmm.
Thursdays are great too.
Yes, yeah, a new Friday.
Thirsty Thursday.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's free.
Yeah, and then on other tips, we have an annual company trip that we take every year, and we go to Mexico. So we're based out in Mexico City and then Oaxaca, and we've just made a lot of connections with the community there, the diaspora out there, people that's moved stateside to Mexico. So we're looking forward to doing that again this year. We're going to be shooting some amazing stuff in Oaxaca. In Noice, shout out Noice and Rodrigo. That's a shout out that I'll definitely give out. I think music being a big love of us, food is also the aspect of
Mexico City.
The food in Mexico,
insane.
Did you go Oaxaca City or Oaxaca general? Like
Oaxaca City, Oaxaca Juarez, up in the mountains.
Oh, nice.
You got the chance to go to Puerto Escondido, but we'll do that again as a collective, hopefully this year. Other things, we've got a couple of mixes and edits that we're going to be dropping, and then next year hopefully you should hear some original music coming out from us as a collective. Individually, Key here is an amazing musician and has done some amazing tracks with fellow friends of us like Ossi. He did an actual amazing edit of Red Room with Highest Coyote, and that got re-released on, I think they released it on like a Mood Variant.
Mood Variant, which is, so Mood Valiant was their Grammy nominated album.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And then I actually heard it, and I needed a version for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That was because I'm really into like healing electronic music, things that you can just listen to again and again and again, and it's just hypnotic, and you're just like, cool, I feel better now. Which I do for myself. So I did that. Send it to a friend of mine who's just friends with, I think, the stylist of the music video of that song, and then they were like, "This is insane! We're putting this on the album."
So amazing,
crazy. Yeah. But I think also at that time, I just wasn't sure what I was doing. I was like, "No one cares about what I'm doing." Da 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 da. That really reignited my faith in myself that I actually do make good music. Yeah. I just don't have an audience necessarily that's that massive. But
I didn't even know if I was going to digress on this, but I will touch on it. It's the things that I was telling Key and our friend. Aussie, more so Key, that I know a lot of people say this, but I was saying to them that it's like, you guys are just ahead of their time. And they didn't hit, I don't think the penny dropped until shout out to Skepta, released on the label Midas Tempo. They started playing the track that Key and Aussie made 10 years ago, Ugly Observation. So we've been playing these songs
for years.
Yeah.
Or literally a decade.
Yeah, a decade ago. And then it's like, cool, they're playing now, and now everybody in the lands of Ibiza, Mykonos, all them places are playing this track. I'm just saying, we're just ahead of the curve. So it's just like, as long as we love it, that's the route to kind of...
Just keep the faith.
Exactly.
Love it. Thank you.
It's incredible.
I think one more question. So you get a choice.
Yeah.
Do you... You can either answer the question, what's one thing you love and what's one thing you hate about Pirate? Or you can tell us about some upcoming artists you got your eye on right now that you think we should know about.
We can answer both. I'll do Pirate. And hate's a strong word. I don't really tend to hate things.
A lot of people do say that, but I insist.
All right, I'll start with the negative first and the positive. I think it's probably more of an expansion thing. I was talking about this outside the studios. Like, again, being in Mexico, trying to head over to Brazil and Colombia, a lot of these places don't have a Pirate studio, and there's so many amazing musicians and DJs, and it's just like, unless you know someone that has a full setup in their house, that has like a home kind of like setup, you're not able to kind of play and practice unless you get booked as such. And I was just like, for the amount of DJs that's here that play amazing music, and this is a now new emerging market, a lot of eyes are going to be on it, especially with the World Cup being played within like Canada, Mexico and the States. So I was just like, right, why is there not a Pirate studio here, when I, again, spending a lot of time going to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Music, I was like, why is there not? You know?
We're always searching for a spot.
It's like, oh, we just want to play, you know?
Every time.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, Rollout is my remit.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I should have checked it. No!
I actually think that had we not had that little weird 4-year pandemic thing, we'd probably be in some of those places that you mentioned. Yeah, things changed a little bit.
Yeah.
We are actually, fingers crossed, about to start expanding again.
Amazing.
And yeah, you're right. Like, Mexico City would be absolutely phenomenal.
It just makes so much sense.
It's crazy. You know, and the fact that I'm based in the US too, it would probably be easier to kind of, you know, somewhat manage from over there.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all in the roadmap. Yeah. Had things gone to plan, we would be, you know, more than, what are we, 750 studios, as in individual studios now. You know, this midterm was about 5,000. So yeah, unfortunately, things took a bit of a turn during the pandemic, but we survived, and we're about to roll out again. So, it's not going to happen immediately, but there's every chance there could be a Pirate Mexico City in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah.
It just takes a bit of time.
Okay.
But yeah, completely with you there. Yeah. We want to
you hear that, Mexico, if that happens, because I nudged it. So many
friends, my friend Adrian, he's from Sinaloa, he's just like, dude, let me open a Pirate in Mexico City. I'm like, I'd love to. You got $2 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Show me the money.
He backed off pretty quickly.
And then the positive is probably the same on other coins, just that the spaces here within London, there's so many amazing musicians, and they have an access to a place that is, I would say, affordable. You know, London's a really expensive city. No matter what kind of money you're making, like, London is super. Not trying to scare anyone that wants to come and visit London, but I'm trying to give you
the real,
you know what I mean? Like, so just that, having spaces for the youth, or not just the youth, people that just love music in general, to be in those spaces. And I think being able to go to different parts, so like when we did something in LA with Coco.
In LA, does it even reach out?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We know each other now.
Yeah. We do now.
Yeah.
That's true.
So we did something at the Roxy, and I was like, before we do that, let's try and see what Pirate they had. I forgot what Pirate we went to.
Silver Lake, hopefully. Yeah, they're both great.
So it was Silver Lake. And we was like, oh, this looks very different from London. I was like, the LA Hollywood vibes.
Yeah. That's where we take all the investors.
Look at the entrance, look at the lighting. I was like,
there's an elevator.
I was like, because my local one.
There's a parking lot.
This apparently, right, nice.
Look at all this space.
Beautiful. No, I've been to a couple of them. Again, New York, going to the ones across Brooklyn. They remind me of Camden. The one in Brooklyn remind me of Camden. I was like, felt like home. Artists that we're listening to.
One each. Yeah.
Go for it.
Ooh. Right now, one of my favorites is Lamzy. Lamzy is a producer from Amsterdam, and he makes Afro inspired electronic music. It's a lot of like Kowina, Kuduro, and just Afro tech, really. He works a lot with Jero Vandal. I don't know if you guys,
I've worked with Jero before.
Yeah, cold. So I think, I've just got a lot of love for new young producers that are just bringing their cultural sounds to the historical cultural sounds to today and spreading that. It's just a really beautiful thing, and it's necessary. Like, I've got a similar thing when it comes to, so my history, my heritage is Jamaican Dominican. No one knows about Dominican music. No one knows, people barely know Dominica as a country, let alone the music. They think Dominican Republic or something. It's like, And I think keeping our history alive, which is really important, especially in a place like London, places like Amsterdam and all that jazz. It's just really important to spread that love, to spread that good sound, you know?
JJ's
just been looking through his
his answer was so nice. I was like, I've just been listening to like throwback artists. So the people that's been on repeat right now that I've been listening to on the way here, Mutual Friend, Rags Original, Ebru Taylor and Pat Thomas, me being West African Ghanaian. It's just that really tapping back into the sound of High Life. So just listen to that. And I think it's more so nostalgia, remembering the house parties that my parents used to kind of throw, and those were like some of the soundtracks. So
Cool. Yeah, as I mention every time, and the audience will be sick of hearing this, we'll add all this to the show notes. So we'll you know, get their Instagrams or whatever, and we'll put them in, and then you know, people can find out who they are. Great. Unless you've got anything else, Emma V, that's it, I believe.
I think something that like came up is the fact that you make music. Is there space? Would there be space on this episode?
You're the one looking at the time code.
Yeah. There'll be some bits we might need to trim and things like that. But Key, I mean, you're talking about music coming soon, but you already have music. I mean, we could probably close this.
I mean,
it's probably a bit of pressure now if you've not thought about it before, but if you were to play to close this episode with one of your tracks.
I mean, I would definitely say just Red Room. Red Room's my favorite right now, yeah. Red Room, High Sky Keys Basement Mix.
Do you want to give it a full introduction and then it'll come in after this?
Hi, I'm Key. I make music that makes you feel good because sometimes you don't. So I want to make sure that you have a moment to yourself. Listen to my Red Room remix.
I got a red room, it's a red hour when the sun sets in my bedroom.
So much, JJ Key. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, it's
great to have you on the show.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great. Thanks for being honest earlier on too. And just it's good to tackle these things.
Cool.
And
thanks for having us. Yeah. We're on episode 8.
Yeah.